Abraham, who, and we're looking at his call today and what that means to us collectively and individually. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to, when I was in my 20s, I was in England and met Ruth. We used to sing a song called Father Abraham. Does anyone know that song? Yeah. Have many sons. Have many sons, said Father Abraham. I'm one of them, so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. I mean, that's how it went. But it was quite an interesting idea of actually thinking, actually, Abraham is, I'm incorporated into his family. Because we often neglect the Old Testament. And it's one of the reasons why we're looking at the Old Testament, because it's an integral part of who we are, is the stories in the Old Testament. And this is one of them. Look, can we bring up an image? There's an image on the computer. Well, Matt's looking a bit confused. Stephen knows where it is. He's right in front of you. Thank you. Sorry to spring that on you, Matt. What we're doing today is I'll be... Oh, here it comes. Look, this is a great story. You probably recognize the country that this is in. This is in China. It's an elderly couple owned this building with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories, which is a common way that they used to live in China. They own this building, and the communist government, what they would have done in the old days was, if they were building a motorway, they would have simply ordered them to get out and knock down their home. Now, things have changed a little bit in China, and they cannot do that now. So they made an offer to this couple, and they refused it. And they made them a bigger offer, and they refused that as well. So what they did is they, oh, we're going to build this motorway anyway, and your house is going to be in the middle of it. So that couple live in that house today, as far as I know, with a 4-lane traffic motorway screaming around it every day. What a way to live. Now, it's interesting. We look at that, and a part of us goes, yes, good on you. Yeah? You admire the sort of gumption of an elderly couple to say, get lost. Okay, I'm staying here. I'm not moving. But there's also a part of us that thinks, actually, would life be very good living on a 4-lane motorway? I'll let you to make the decision about that question. What we're doing today, if you can take that down, thank you, Matt, is we're looking at the call of Abraham and 4 principles that come from, that we can learn about for ourselves and for the church from that calling of Father Abraham. The first principle is that our God in the Christian Judeo tradition is a God who calls out to his people, who speaks to his people and to his creation. And to do this, to call out to us, he needs to have a voice. And he needs to speak. And we need to believe that he speaks. Not only believe that he speaks, but we can hear his call today. Now, of those of you who most of us in popular New Zealand culture, if you hear of someone who believes they've been spoken to by God, they're usually either in jail or in an institution. All right? We need to ignore that popular understanding of how God speaks to us and the type of people God speaks to. And the reasons are because he has spoken before and he will speak again and he speaks now. How many of us really believe we worship a God who speaks to us today? Now, the ways that God does speak to us, we know about that. He speaks through Scripture. He speaks through the tradition of the church. It's one of the reasons why I became a member of the Anglican Church. I trusted the tradition of the church. He speaks to us through others in the church, through his body, through other believers. He also speaks to us through dreams and through pictures that people have. And he sometimes speaks to us as an audible voice. Now, that's rare, but it does happen to some of us. It does happen. Verse 1, we look in Abram, and it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. The Lord spoke to Abram. He spoke to him in an audible voice. The principle two, he is a God that moves us, and he moves us from A to B. Now, it's not necessarily physical. Often it can be. Some of us might be called to leave our own country. Many of us are not. It might be physical, but it will definitely be moving from A to B. God calls us to move spiritually. Now, Peter says in 1 Peter, or the author of that book says, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk. Crave spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. This is God's will. Now, if we move from A to B, it won't necessarily mean we move physically, but it will mean we move spiritually, that we grow up, that we mature, that we change. This is the call that God has on each and every one of our lives, to change, to move, to not stay still like that elderly couple with the house in China. Now, can you bring up the next illustration, Matt? Thank you. Some of us, when we hear a call, or God speaks to us, I'll say a call with a capital C, like the call of Abraham, a call with a small c, because there's a call with a small c in each of our lives. Some of us cling to the things that we know and are familiar with. Now, those of you who have lived in Asia or in Africa, you know there's a thing called a monkey trap. Now, the monkey trap, it's not like the one here, but it's kind of similar. It's a similar mechanism. Traditionally, it's a bowl, and it's got a narrow neck in it, and it's a heavy porcelain bowl or clay pot. And what they do is they put in what monkeys love to eat, bananas. They put it into the bowl. And the monkey comes up, goes, oh, what's in there? Oh, it's a banana. I love a banana. Puts a hand in and takes hold of the banana, but it refuses to let go because it's a bit stupid. Yeah? What happens is it gets stuck to the pot. The person who set the trap comes along, finds the pot and the monkey with the banana they won't let go of, and it takes the monkey away. All right? And that's why we've got the monkey there with the hands. He's not very happy. He's dragging the box trap with him because he won't let go of the banana. And his friend saying, just let go. Some of us, when we hear God and he calls us, we refuse to let go of the things that keep us safe, that make us feel secure, because God is taking us into a place that we don't know about. This was definitely true for Abram. In verse 1, leave your country, leave your people, leave your household, and go to the land that I will show you. Leave behind those things that you take hold of and you hold on very tightly to. Now, there's no reason to do that unless you're being called to do that. But to a certain degree, God calls us each to leave those things that we are familiar with, that keep us in those places that are not great for us. God has something better. The third principle is we are called for a purpose. We're called for a purpose. And what is that purpose? Now, it's surprising if you look at verse 2 in that call to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation. So leave your country, leave your family, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Now, in the version we had at 9 o'clock service, I'll make your name famous. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? The reasons we follow God, initially, they can often be actually quite self-centered. I'll admit that. I came to faith because I was concerned about the state of my own spiritual well-being, my own life satisfaction. But what happens is God calls you to be blessed so that you can do something else. And we look into the scripture here and what that something else is. In verse 3, he goes on to say, I will bless those who bless you, Abraham. And I and all the people in the earth will be blessed through you. Now, this is something significant for us as a church, as we look at the church's vision for the new build down on Karori Road. It's a rightful desire to be a blessing to the Karori and Marsden community and beyond. The details which are being worked out as we speak by our leadership here and by leadership teams and by the vestry, they are responsible for hearing God's voice. And they are responsible for obeying and moving. And we as a congregation are called to trust a loving God and a called leadership in our church to move with our leadership so that we can be a blessing to Karori and Marsden and Wellington and the world through our new build. It's interesting when we look at the call of Abraham, the vision that is given is actually quite vague. He says, go to a land that I will show you. There's no corporate three-point vision to assist. The emphasis is on hearing and responding in obedience and faith. A living relationship with a living God, not corporate plans of the flesh. This is a mistake the church have made over the last 20 years. As they start to believe and act like they are businesses. God's way of working is different, as we read in the story of Abraham. The vision for the rebuild is coming into place, but it's taking time. But we've made moves towards that vision of connecting with our community in a more meaningful way. We've made steps towards that already, significant steps. But the complete vision is still being delivered. And it will be delivered in time. So be patient with that. But it is there and it is coming. And God is good and involved with that. I was really impressed when I sat here last week when the wardens were talking about the new vicar and what the new vicar needs to be, who that vicar needs to be, and what they need to understand. Janet Hesketh, God rest her soul, she sat here, and a number of people spoke about how they needed to go back to how things were more traditional in the past. Janet said, I really believe that we don't need to go backwards. We need to go forwards, and we don't know what the church is going to look like in the future. But we need to embrace it. Now those are the wise words of a progressive woman and a wise woman. And a number of people heard that. Now I would add to what Janet says or said, and I would say, look, the nature of the container will change, but what won't change is the gospel itself. Yeah? There's an absolute beauty in the truth that has been given to us by our Father God, through Christ our Savior, that is unchanging and that is timeless. That is the jewel that we have. The container, the church, is something else. And how it works is something else. The fourth and last principle, God's vision works despite or maybe because of our weaknesses. Abraham was called to be a great nation. There was two small problems. One of them was a major one. In the beginning, he could not have any children. Sarah was too old. Remember, she laughed in the face of what God had proclaimed through Abraham's lips. She was barren. Through their weaknesses, they could only ever become a great nation through God's blessing and his favor and his miraculous intervention. The second problem was they arrived at Canaan in verse 6 and the land was occupied already. The principle is, as you walk in your call with a small c, and as we walk in our call with a large c, as a church, expect that there will be challenges. It will not be a walk in the park. So when challenges arrive, don't start grumbling or losing faith in the God who has called us to this. Now I'm going to read you a little bit of an anecdote that tells us why there will be problems and why we need to stick with that. Soren Kierkegaard tells the story of a boy trying to learn arithmetic. The teacher gives him a book full of problems to solve. In the back of the book, there's a listing of the answers to the problems. But the teacher instructs the boy never to look at the answers in the back of the book. Instead, he is to work out the answers for himself. As the boy does his homework, he cheats. He looks in the back of the book. He gets the answers beforehand, finding it much easier to work out the problems if he knows what the answers are in advance. Kierkegaard points out that while it is quite possible for the boy to get good grades this way, he will never really learn mathematics. As difficult as it may prove to be, the only way to become a mathematician is to struggle with the problems himself, not by using someone else's answers, even if those answers are the right ones. It's obvious that on life's journey we are faced with problems, and we sometimes wonder why Jesus doesn't spell out the answers so that we know exactly what to do. According to Kierkegaard, God doesn't give us the answers because he wants to force us to work out the problems for ourselves. It is only by struggling with the problems that they present themselves day in and day out that we can develop into the kinds of mature people that God wants us to be. So in summary, briefly, those four principles. Firstly, from Abraham we learn, believe in a God that speaks to us today. Secondly, he is a God who moves us from A to B. So have feet that are willing to move. Thirdly, God has a vision for us. We are called for a purpose, individually and collectively as a church. And lastly, expect trials if you're going to